Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better, even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing
and make your business sizzle. I can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, I am honored and totally excited to have this next guest on our show on the Bacon Podcast. His name is John Lee Dumas from Entrepreneur on Fire. He has a podcast that is downloaded over 1 million times per month and has done over 1,400 episodes. The man knows his stuff. So, John, I'm excited to have you here. How are you doing, dude?
Brian, I am here. I am fired up, and I'll say it. I'm prepared to ignite.
Awesome, dude. I love it. All right. So let's give these people some bacon. So I want to know, not everybody knows who you are. And so I want them to know, you know, how you got into podcasting, but you were a soldier in Iraq and then ended up doing commercial real estate. And then you had this aha moment about podcasting. Can you tell us a little bit about your origin story?
Yeah, so the origin story for me, Cliff Notes version, starts back in the state of Maine. I'm just a country boy, and I went to college on an Army ROTC scholarship, and that meant I spent the next 8 years post-graduation, four active, four in the reserves, as an officer in the U.S. Army, and did a little 13-month tour in Iraq, Fallujah specifically, as an armor officer. And after that, I tried a bunch of things. And Brian, this spanned for 6 years. So from 26 to 32, I tried law school, hated it, quit. I tried commercial real estate, hated it, quit. I tried corporate finance. It just wasn't for me. And over again, I was just realizing, man, like, what is that thing that, you know, like, will wake me up in the morning and will get me fired up to, you know, what is now obviously turning on that microphone. But I had no idea that this world existed until I started listening to podcasts myself and to audiobooks and realizing this was a possibility. So back at the age of 32 and in 2012, I had the aha moment to launch a daily podcast interviewing successful and inspiring entrepreneurs. EO Fire was born. That was 1,400 episodes ago. It's now grown into a podcast that generates over 1 million listens per month and a business that generates seven figures of revenue a year. So it's been quite the ride.
Man, it's amazing. And you went from zero to hero in just 4 years. I mean, that is just unheard of amazing. So I guess the key question I want to ask you here, because, you know, I do a podcast and a lot of people are trying to get into podcasting, but I guess from your experience and working with all these different people, training and teaching and speaking and all this stuff, what in your estimation makes a great podcast?
So for me, a great podcast has a very specific, really, I like to use an acronym for it, and that's UVD. It has a unique value distinguisher because, Brian, you know it, I know it. I mean, we've all come from standing up on the shoulders of giants. I've learned from those who have come before me. You've learned from those who have come before you. But when we're going to launch a show, we're going to launch a podcast, we need to say, okay, what is that thing that's going to make my show stand apart from the rest? It's going to be unique, fresh, exciting, interesting. It's going to appeal to a different sector of the audience that maybe is not getting served for any number of reasons. Now, back in 2012, there was no daily podcast interviewing successful entrepreneurs. So I filled that void. You know, that was what was unique about me. Now, what was the value that I provided? Well, let's be honest. I was a bad podcast host. I was a crappy interviewer. I was just not good behind the microphone. Fortunately, the interview-based podcast allowed me to bring successful entrepreneurs on the podcast. So my guest delivered the value. So that V was checked off there. So I was unique 7 days a week. I was valuable. And then what did I do to distinguish myself? Well, I had a very specific format that actually survives to this day, where when you listen to EO Fire, I immediately ask my guests, what is your worst entrepreneurial moment? And I really make my guests take us to that moment, tell that story, their lessons learned. Then we move into an aha moment they've had and how they turned that idea into success. And then, of course, we end with the lightning round, which are six powerful questions that are just going to be really valuable for the listeners to get if they're entrepreneurs or wantrepreneurs or sidepreneurs. So that was what my UVD was. And so anybody I would say that's listening right now, if you can apply that and you also check those three boxes, the U, V, and the D, you're off to the races.
Awesome. And you know, you've interviewed some incredible guests. I mean, Seth Godin, Brian Tracy. I mean, there are just so many amazing entrepreneurs that you've been able to get on your show. I guess the question I want to ask you is, what was your favorite podcast to record, and what was the one that made you cringe the most?
So most people that you'd have on, I would say 99% of people, Brian, would be like, I don't want to choose my favorite. Like, that's like choosing my favorite kid. It's like, that's lame. That's a stupid answer. So I don't give stupid answers. So listen, my favorite guest that I've ever had on was Sally Hogshead. She is an amazing speaker from stage. I remember seeing her speak at Social Media Marketing World 2014, and she blew my mind. She was just so good, so much energy on stage. And the fact that I was able to convince her to come onto my show, not once, not twice, not thrice, but now four times I've had Sally on my show. And there were very, very few four-peats in EO Fire. Even though I've done 1,400 episodes, there's even very few two-peats. And so for Sally to come back on shows you how much I admire her. But she just brings this different kind of vibe that a lot of just, you know, the entrepreneurs that I have on my show do. And every single time I've had her on, which I love and which makes her my favorite, she always gives something so actionable that's incredible. Now, my cringeworthy one, and I actually posted about this on the podcast itself. I did a little pre-roll where I shared that this was my most awkward pre-interview chat I have ever done. And it was with Gene Simmons of Kiss.
Oh.
There's a kind of a long story behind it. And you're going to have to go and listen to the episode if you want the full story, because it's too long for this particular episode. But long story short, Gene Simmons caught me unawares. He caught me figuratively with my pants down, and then he made me pay for it. And I actually recorded the whole thing and I published the whole thing on my podcast because I just wanted people to be able to hear that as well. So that would be my most cringeworthy.
That's outstanding. And one of the things that you do, obviously, I mean, you were at the podcasting thing in Chicago last week, which, yep, Movement, thank you very much. So you go out to a lot of these events, and I'm guessing this is where you kind of find some of these incredible guests. How do you approach them? What kind of things do you offer? How do you get these incredible people on your show?
Well, I will say, when you first start a podcast, it is all about outreach. And a great example of ways I used to get people on the show is the fact that there are a ton of killer entrepreneurial conferences out there. Now, guess what? Do you have to go to those conferences and actually shake the people's hand that you want to have on your show? No, you can just go to the actual conference website, click on the speakers tab, and then just go down, read the bios about what people are speaking about. Guess what? These are people that are willing to fly somewhere, likely for free, by the way, because very few people get paid to speak, especially in the entrepreneurial world. So they're probably flying there for free, paying their own way, just to get 45 minutes on stage in front of maybe a couple hundred people if they're lucky. You better believe that if you give them the opportunity to wake up in their PJs, flip on their microphone and talk into Skype for 25 minutes to you, and then go off and have their morning coffee even before they can say boo, they're probably going to take it if you position it that way. So that's how I got my first couple hundred guests, was by going to websites like that, looking at the speakers that I admired, and having them come and talk about a topic that they were already comfortable talking about. Like, that was a great tactic. Now, personally, EO Fire has been so successful, and it's a top-ranked podcast, and I get over 1 million listens per month, that I now actually get over 300 inbound requests on a monthly basis. So I've had to turn the tables, and I now have a very difficult application process that people have to go through. That's kind of highlighted by people have to submit a personalized 60-second video to me of one of their greatest aha moments. And I'll tell you, people love like taking older videos of like, oh, John, just like fast forward to minute like 13 and listen to 13 to 14. And I'm like, that's not a personalized video to me. That's an easy no. And the people that follow the directions and make a nice and take the time to make a nice personalized video for me, I know that they're likely the people that are going to take the time to prepare, take the time to really deliver value, and take the time to follow up with Fire Nation when my audience reaches out to them and says, oh, Brian, I loved you on EO Fire, blah, blah, blah. Because then it's me that gets the, you know, oh, Brian never emailed me back, even though he said he would. And it comes back on my brand. And I take responsibility for that, because I take responsibility for everything that happens that's associated with my business, something that I take a lot of pride in from my military days. But the reality is this, like, I am my guest. EO Fire is my guest. So whatever I can do to make sure that I'm upping the level there, the better.
Awesome. And I love that follow-up. I love the way you do the application process because, yeah, I mean, the more popular you get, you just get inundated with people that say, hey, man, this is going to be a great interview, and it's just somebody who just wants to sell their crap rather than actually provide great content. And that's, you know,
totally.
I love what you do, man, and I do the same thing. I want to provide great information, actionable stuff for people so that they can do something with it. And I guess the next question I have is along those lines is people are starting podcasts. It's getting easier and easier to do it. You can do it with an iPad, an iPhone. You don't need all the heavy duty tech, although it helps. But what are some of the most common mistakes you see newbies getting into when they're starting a podcast?
A lot of mistakes that I see newbies getting into, and this will circle quickly back to something we talked about earlier, is they're not just standing up on the shoulders of giants. They're just flat out copying. Like, they're seeing things that are working for other people, and they're just saying, let me just do that. And that's not your voice. That's not what is really going to set you apart. You know, that's just, again, like you just taking the Mona Lisa and then just like trying to replicate it. It's like, that's just not going to happen. So that's a huge mistake that I see people doing up front. Number two is not having a marathon mentality. Podcasters think they're going to launch and then overnight become this great success. Like, they're going to have people banging down their doors. Like, I get frantic emails all the time from people like, oh my God, John, I want to launch, but my website's not perfect yet. I'm like, nobody's going to even care about your website, let alone visit it for the first 6 months. So why do you even care what it looks like? Like, get your podcast out there so you can start to fine tune your voice, your message, and actually start to build an audience before you go sweating over this audience that frankly doesn't even exist. So stop putting the cart in front of the horse. That's another major mistake that I see podcasters make all the time.
Yeah. And, so you talk about the marathon thing, because I mean, I've been doing it for 2 years. You've been doing it for 4 years. But how do you get people to avoid burnout of doing this? Because it's work. I mean, it's a job.
Listen, you'll get burnt out if you don't love it. You'll get burnt out if you don't set up systems around it. Those are two things that are critical. For me, I do love it. I love having the conversations. I wake up in the morning and I'm like, I'm interviewing 15 successful entrepreneurs today. That's exciting. Those are 15 great conversations. But a lot of people are like, well, John, why do you do it all in one day? Well, honestly, I wouldn't be excited to wake up every single day and interview 4 entrepreneurs every weekday. That would just be like, man, like that's a lot. But for me to say, you know what, I'm going to dedicate one day and just knock out, you know, a batch of interviews so that I can take the other days, recover, focus on other things like fitness, like nutrition, like other parts of my business. That's key. So if you really love what you're doing and you create systems and automations around that, you simply won't get burnt out. If you're feeling like you're getting burnt out, that's because your systems suck and they don't work. So you need to fix them.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm huge into systems. I mean, my latest book is called The Bacon System. It's all about exactly that. And what are some of the other things that really help you be successful? Because I'm looking through, you've got an incredible team behind you. You've got, you know, an audio video guy, you've got a VA. I mean, what are some of the things in that world that really help you be successful?
Really everything that I'm bad at, which is 99% of the things, I bring in people that are at least good at those things or are willing to become good at those things. And I just focus on the 1% of things that I'm good at, which is speaking into a microphone, which is doing stuff like Snapchat and videos and creating content that I like for tutorials, et cetera. Like, I know what I'm good at. I can write a great email in 5 minutes that people are like, wow, John, that was a really thoughtful email. Like, that must have taken you all day. I was like, no, I just sat down and I pounded it out. Like, that's one of my strengths. If that wasn't one of my strengths, then I would have to reevaluate how that happens and how that works. So the 1% of things that I'm good at, I amplify the crap out of. And the 99% of things that I'm just crappy at, I don't waste my time trying to become okay at something that I'm crappy about, because nobody wants okay in the first place anyways. So why would I waste my time there? I just focus on where I'm already great.
Yep. Focus on your strengths, hire to your weaknesses. Awesome, dude. So, you know, as people are trying to build their podcasts, obviously, I mean, getting to a million downloads, one of the things that you do that's very unique, and I've seen a handful of people do it successfully, is 7 days a week. I mean, that's awesome. But not everybody has time to do that. They're going to do it once. I do it twice a week. But what are some of your favorite growth hacks to getting audiences to participate, to share, to pay attention to your podcast?
Well, listen, number one, not everybody should be doing a daily podcast. In fact, most people should not. Going back to the beginning part of our conversation, like my show was 7 days a week because I was filling a need and a void that was out there. My avatar, Jimmy, you know, who was me back in the day, was waking up every single day driving to work wanting to listen to a podcast, and it didn't exist. So I created it for him. That's why my show works, because I know who I'm producing my show for. You know, frankly, Brian, my show's probably not for you, I'm assuming, you know, but it's not for most people. It's for people who are looking for that daily burst of motivation, of inspiration, of guidance. And guess what? Just because I'm willing to say it's not for everybody doesn't mean I'm not still getting over 1.2 million listens per month. Like, that was what we had in the month of June alone. So just because like you're really focused on an audience or even a listener doesn't mean your podcast is not going to grow. And what was the second part to that, Brian?
Well, the second part to it is, what are some of your favorite growth hacks? I mean, what are some of the marketing tips or things that you could do to get audiences to pay attention to it?
Yeah, I don't like the word hacks because I kind of feel like that means that people are taking shortcuts or they're just kind of like half kind of hacking it in a way. Mm-hmm. And to me, like, that's never going to be sustainable. Like, there's so many things that have come and gone that I've seen in just the last 4 years. I mean, I talk like I'm OG here. I've only been around for 4 years. I mean, that's just a reality. I mean, and so, you know, the growth hacks, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, for me, I just like to say, hey, what are the sustainable growth techniques that we can apply? And, you know, for me, there's a couple really simple things. I make sure to really make sure that my guest is delivering a unique interview for them, which is why I really focus on having them share that moment in time that they consider their worst moment. And I really dive deep there because most people don't want to talk in depth about that. But now that they have and they see how vulnerable they were during it, they see how valuable it could be for their guests. I mean, sorry, for their listeners. So that when the interview comes out, they're going to share it. So there is an absolute hack right there. You know, again, I don't like that word, but technique is something that I'll use instead. There is a technique. So every single day I wake up, my first interview is to that guest whose interview just went live. And I'm like, Tim, Gary, Chris Brogan, like, your interview just went live. You rock the mic. I would be honored if you would share with your audience. Here's all the links that you can do so with just one click. And that's worked really well. You know, also going out there and finding out where your listeners or your potential listeners are hanging out. Don't just think that people are going to come to you. You know, if you build it, they will come. You know, that worked in Field of Dreams, but that doesn't work for podcasting. You got to get out there. You need to find out where your people are currently hanging out, and you need to become a part of those communities, whether they're Facebook groups, LinkedIn groups. They're public, they're free, they're out there. Get in, make a difference.
Mm-hmm. And you talked a lot about face-to-face too. I mean, it's getting out there, giving speeches, getting in front of people. I think that's huge too.
Yeah. My biggest download day ever came the weekday after Podcast Movement. I just had 71,000 listens in one day. The weekday after Podcast Movements. I had never even had up to 60,000 before. Like, my highest day before that was like 54, 55,000 listens. And then I had 71,000 listens the first weekday after Podcast Movement just a few days ago. And there's really no other explanation besides the fact you have to factor a little bit in that there was a buildup over the holiday weekends. But not to that level. Like, that was people who were at the conference who heard about me or re-engaged with me and came back to the show or listened to it for the first time and started sharing with their friends, with their family, with their loved ones.
Yeah, that's awesome. Is there any other things from a marketing perspective that you like to do? I mean, obviously, you have daily emails. I mean, what kind of other things are you using? Facebook groups? How are you engaging with your audience?
Well, Snapchat for me is the best social media platform by a mile. But again, I'm talking as a producer. Like, I'm a producer of content now. I wouldn't really call myself as much a producer back in the day as I am now. You know, back in the day, I was kind of more of a facilitator. Like, yes, I was responsible for hitting the publish button, but the value always came from my guests. They were producing the value in the episodes. But now, 1,400 episodes later, 4 years later, like, I have value to give on every episode, on emails that I write. And so now I'm in the position where I can use a tool like Snapchat, and I do what's called my daily JLD rants, where I just flip on Snapchat and I rant off of a quote or a topic or just something that's, you know, either exciting me or bothering me. And I just go on a little bit of a rant on that, and, you know, and I'm getting anywhere from like 1.5 to 2,200 views per every single one of those snaps that I'm doing. And to me, like that's a big audience and growing that many people are choosing to search for me and then press like, let's see what JLD's talking about today. Like that's a massive group of people that I'm speaking to every single day. Like if I could be in front of 2,000 people live every single day, that would freak me out. I think the biggest audience I've ever spoken in front of live is 1,200 people. And that was keynoting Podcast Movement last year. So just a lot of things to think about when you're kind of going through that thing. But, you know, for me, Snapchat is really because I've kind of become that producer of content.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And all the live video tools that are out there now are really helping people kind of expand their reach. Hey, dude, a couple of things. Number one, you're a fast talker like I am. So you give an incredible amount of information in a very, very short period of time. So I greatly appreciate that. I mean, it's hard to believe it's been about 20 minutes already.
Yeah, it's hard to believe if anybody's listening to us at 2x speed, too.
Exactly. Very true. Secondly, I know you've got a lot more to offer the audience, and I wanted to give them an opportunity to connect up with you. So do you have something that will help people get their arms around podcasting a little better?
Absolutely. So if you want to get your arms around podcasting, I have a completely free podcasting course. Check out freepodcastcourse.com. It's 15 days. You'll know how to create, grow, and monetize your podcast. And all of our magic overall happens at eofire.com. That's where you can get your hands on that course on podcasting. We have a free webinar course there. So we have a lot of cool free gifts for entrepreneurs. And of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention my passion project, which is the Freedom Journal, which I just launched in January, which is a gorgeous faux leather, because I am an animal lover, bound journal, gold embossed. So it's a beautiful gold embossed faux leather journal that will guide you in setting and accomplishing your number one goal in 100 days. We launched on Kickstarter. We became the sixth most funded publishing campaign of all time at $453,000 of revenue in just 33 days. And it's just continues to sell like hotcakes. We sold over 13,000 to date. And you can check that out at thefreedomjournal.com.
John, this has been awesome, dude. You've dropped some incredible knowledge bombs on my peeps. Boom. Some bacon knowledge bombs. If people wanted to get a hold of you or follow you, what's the best way other than Snapchat to do that?
Well, I would say Snapchat, and that is John Lee Dumas on Snapchat.
Okay, cool. That works for me. Hey, John, again, I appreciate you. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your knowledge. This has been awesome, and I look forward to connecting up with you at the next Podcast Movement or wherever I can find you at conferences, man.
Peace.
Peace.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.